This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
It's time to prepare for the future, and that can only happen when you acknowledge the past and the present. I think that's a fairly good sort of life anecdote that we can all relate to. Welcome to Great FM, everyone. Ahalya here, keeping you company on the podcast brought to you by Great HR. And, you know, I do have to talk about Great HR in just a second. But, you know, the future that we're trying to prime ourselves for with today's conversation is that of HR automation. Now, HR automation is commonly defined as the practice of using digital tools to streamline time-consuming HR tasks when it comes to human capital management. It's fairly straightforward and not at all an alien concept, given the AI and tech times that we currently live in. And especially for us, you know, Great HR is, after all, a full-suite HRMS platform that helps to expedite complex, recurring, and critical HR and payroll functions in a compliant and secure way. It's something we've worked towards since the inception of the organization. And we currently offer over 50 HR and payroll tools, you know, providing end-to-end solutions for human capital management. But the implication of HR automation in the world of HR as a business function definitely poses many questions, right? A few that come to my mind right off the bat would be, how useful has the advent of automation been? If automation replaces much of HR's core work, then what is the role of HR now? What are the possibilities going forward when so much has already changed? I have a whole lot more questions, which is why we have this episode today. So let's get into it. HR professionals, as always, grab your notepads because it's going to be very applicable to your work moving forward. To help us unpack all of it is Amit Mola, HR leader, CIO function at Wipro Limited. Hi, Amit, and welcome to Great FM. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Ahalya. Thank you very much. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be part of the podcast.
Absolutely. So, you know, Amit, just as someone who's coming to us with over 25 years of experience as a business leader and, you know, an HR business partner, talk to me a little bit before we dive into the questions about how you yourself have seen HR automation kind of take over or, you know, come into the workplace. Has it been a fascinating, interesting journey for you?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, considering the fact, as you introduced me, that I'm a, you know, I come with an experience in business, business leadership and also HR. So I'm, you know, I have had the opportunity of tasting the, or rather, you know, experiencing the business side of the organization versus the HR side of the organization. And in terms of automation, I think I have personally experienced and personally been part of some of the initiatives which started, you know, sometime like 6-7 years ago when at least in our organization, we started talking about HR automation. So I have seen it grow from what it used to be an opportunity or an attempt to automate some of the repetitive and routine tasks to the fact where now it is being looked at more as enhancing an employee experience or assisting the business leaders or assisting the HR partners in helping business make very informed and sound decisions. So I mean, it has come a long way, still a lot more opportunities, a lot more potential as we speak.
So that's interesting. You would then say that the definition of HR automation has kind of changed over the past 4 years then?
Yeah, as I said that, see, initially the definition largely revolved around automating some of the routine and repetitive tasks, whether it was, you know, marking and attendance or, you know, leave management or some of the routine, you know, tasks which are very, very repetitive. But now it has evolved into a situation or into experiences which employees are getting, you know, whether it is, you know, onboarding or whether it is, you know, remote or hybrid working. And a couple of examples which come to my mind is everybody uses MS Teams, or at least a lot of people use MS Teams, right? Now, pre-2020, MS Teams, of course, was used on, you know, maybe sparingly used, but not as extensively. Now, one key feature which now we very effectively use is like whenever there is a conversation going on, there is a very effective transcription of the overall conversation, which becomes very handy. So if somebody has not attended the call, that transcription is available and irrespective of the accent which somebody is speaking in, right? Now, that's a very powerful usage of technology and artificial intelligence. Another example I was reading somewhere was that organizations like IBM and Salesforce, they are using AI-driven platforms to onboard people. Now, what what it means is what they do is they send customized messages to their new hires or assign trainings or assign tasks or in terms of learning, you know, learning resources or learning interventions to their new hires. Now, that is a very deft use of technology in terms of providing an employee experience. Now, I can go on and on, but there are multiple such examples. Earlier, automation used to be standalone, you know, where, you know, you're automating a task or automating a particular activity. But now the focus is on how do you integrate that with other systems or with let's say, whether it's a CRM or your ERP, how do two systems talk to each other so the data flows from one to the other and creates a seamless workflow. So, I mean, the possibilities are immense. At least my experience is that in the last 4 or 5 years, this is how things have changed.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, you know, thank you for bringing up AI, because I think it's an important aspect of the conversation pretty much since, you know, it became all the rage. We've been including it in all of our conversations, no matter the context, right? And when it comes to HR automation, would you say, Amit, that AI has kind of always been a friend of HR automation from the very beginning? Or do you see it being leveraged a lot more effectively now? I know you brought up the idea of the transcript. I think anyone who had to take minutes of the meeting is very grateful for that kind of feature. So how would you say AI is going to really shape the future of HR automation going forward?
Yeah, so as you rightly said, no conversation is complete without talking about AI. See, I'll give you an example. This will clearly explain the difference between HR with AI and without AI. So take a simple example of submitting a medical claim. The manual environment, what one had to do was, you know, pick up a medical claim, fill up a form, enter the details and submit it and put it in a Dropbox. Now that's, I'm talking about a pre-automation era. In an automation era, what has happened is that, okay, you have your system where you take your medical bill, you punch in the details of the medical bill, date, time, vendor details, the medicines which you have purchased. And what happens is the system, it processes the data which is fed in, checks for the accuracy of the information, maps it with the document which is uploaded, and then processes it. There is no manual intervention. Now, this is without AI. Just imagine that you do the same thing again after 2 days. So one day, you know, you submit a document, you submit a medical bill with some details. After 2 days, you submit the same bill and it gets processed. After 4 days, again, you submit the exactly same bill and it gets processed. Now, what is happening in this case? The system is automatically only scanning the accuracy and the completeness of the data which is required. Okay, that Amit has submitted a medical claim. This was purchased from ABC Medicos. This was the date. This is what he purchased. The total balance or total amount is 1,000 rupees. It is within the limit which is permissible for his band. Yes, it is done. But what has happened is that I can submit the same bill multiple times because there is no intelligence involved in the automation software. Now, let's look at it from an HR automation with AI. I submit the same bill first time around. It does the same thing, you know, where it checks the accuracy and the completeness of the document. After 2 days, if I submit the same bill, what it will do is will not only check the accuracy or completeness of the bill submitted, it will also go into the past record of Amit Mola, who has already submitted some bills, and verify that, hey, Amit, you have already submitted a bill with the same medical store, same date, same articles purchased, same amount. So probably it's a repeat, right? So here, that's an example of how AI, along with automation, can change things. That's a very basic, a very simple example I'm giving. But I think the idea was to illustrate the automation with AI and without AI kind of a scenario.
No, I think that's a useful example to give us a sneak peek into the potential, right, of AI intervention for HR automation. I also think, Amit, you know, it's been a long enough time that success and failures can also be measured, right? So maybe we should start with the first. Would you be okay with sharing some data that supports the value that HR automation brings to the workplace or the landscape of work and operations in general, right? I think a lot of people do get curious sometimes to understand and just how effective it can be and what are the different areas it can elevate your work experience in with versus without.
Sure. So, I mean, of course, there are a lot of success stories which, you know, one can talk about. And there is a lot of data which gets published, you know, through these, you know, research agencies and the other companies who capture or, you know, conduct surveys. Some of the specific areas or rather some of the benefits which we have seen HR automation bring about is, of course, is, you know, increase in efficiency or, you know, saving of time. Right? HR generally has a lot of administrative tasks. You know, one of them, let's say, is policy management. Right? answering questions on policy. So today, if you're an employee and if you come to me and say, Hamid, hey, can you tell me what is the car lease policy in my organization? Okay, in a pre-automation era, what I would have done is I would have gone back to my policy document, looked it up, and come back to you that, Ahalya, this is the car lease policy. Okay, now that's a repetitive task. Every time somebody comes to me for a policy, I'll have to go back to the policy document and convey the message. Now, in an automated environment, what happens is that you, let's say in a chatbot, what you do is you say, okay, hey, can you please give me the details of the car lease policy? What the automation or the software or the chatbot does is it goes and scans through the policy document, extracts the relevant information, and it's there right there in front of you. So the intervention of an HR professional in this has reduced. So the administrative task has reduced. There is some study by Deloitte which says that HR professionals, you know, they spend about 45% of their time on administrative tasks, and automation can help reduce that.
Right.
It has also, you know, kind of helped in, you know, cost savings. And there is a report from PwC which says that companies who invest in HR automation can save up to 22% of the HR management cost. Now, which is again the manpower cost or the error correction cost, because, you know, if it's a manual effort or it's a manual task, it's prone to error. So that has, you know, improved. It has also helped the business as well as the HR fraternity to make data-driven decisions, right? Where a lot of data available all around. And if somebody is able to effectively use that data, understand that data, I mean, it has huge potential to help their business stakeholders or help the business make sound and informed decisions. And those decisions could be anything, you know, whether it's recruitment or engagement or, you know, salary related decisions or any kind of other decisions. Of course, last thing which I know, I mean, we can go on and on, but with automation, reduction in human error, especially in a payroll processing, right? Payroll is something very, very sensitive. So if a wrong payroll gets processed in a pre-automation era or in a manual era, that has also reduced significantly. So there are numerous such examples in various different parts of HR where HR automation has helped. And of course, as I keep saying, has a lot more potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about the flip side, Amit? I'm very curious to know, you know, whether HR automation has brought about any inefficiencies in the workplace that couldn't have been predicted. Because with things like automation, like you rightly said, especially in terms of the admin context of HR's work, right? It makes perfect sense that it would be a helpful aid. But are there any other business areas or co-work areas of HR that it's kind of brought in inefficiencies that we are now working to?
Yeah, see, the biggest, I would not call it inefficiency, but, you know, as you, I think you use the word flip side. The flip side of this is, one is that, and thankfully we haven't reached that stage, and this is more futuristic, this response is more futuristic, is, you know, more and more automation and its coupling with artificial intelligence will definitely lead to over-reliance on technology. What it means is losing the human touch. So, if in human resources, the human touch, you know, keeps getting minimized or keeps getting diminished, that's the flip side of it. Because however smart or accurate or fast our systems may be, at least to my knowledge, I don't think systems have reached a point where they can understand the human emotions or be emotionally intelligent, you know, understand the feelings of the other person. And so much so that, you know, when you're talking, when you're having a conversation with somebody, there is a lot of non-verbal communication, which, you know, which you pick up in conversation. Now, that is not still possible. So an over-reliance can always lead to employees feeling that it's a very, I would say, you know, dislocated kind of a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's, you know, they're talking to machines. So that is futuristic. Again, as I'm saying, you know, not right now, but futuristic, that is, you know, that is possible. The other thing is, of course, as more and more things get automated, there can be a perceived fear of job loss among people who are actually doing these jobs. Because, and I think a surrogate of this, which we experienced like 20, 30 years ago, was when outsourcing was happening, right? When a lot of jobs were getting outsourced from Western countries to India, there was a definitely a lot of, you know, fear of job loss. Now that can trigger again, because if somebody is in HR is involved in repetitive jobs, and if that has to be automated, what it means is that either the person loses the job or will have to repurpose their skills to learn something else. That may not be as easy for everybody, right? The third thing is that, you know, as more and more automation happens There is a lot more data which is getting stored digitally. So the focus around data security and privacy becomes even more important because there is always a risk of cyber crime or a cyber attack. If there is employee sensitive data floating around based on which the decisions have to be made. So the focus has to increase. The focus, kind of increases that the organization has to put more focus on, those kind of things.
Yeah, no, that's a very unique perspective, especially the idea. And I think this is something that, with the advent of technology, with the progress that AI makes, is constantly coming into question, right? Like not taking the human out of human resources. So I think that's a pretty unique perspective. I'd also like to take this opportunity now, Amit, to move the conversation into the future, right? I read an interesting article on Forbes kind of talking about how automation needs to now move into augmentation. So basically the approach with which automation is implemented, right, within the HR world kind of needs to change. Do you agree with this? And also, what would it need to change to? I'm interested in that.
The way I see it is that automation to augmentation or transactional to relational, that's how things will move. As I said, even today, a lot of HR jobs are still transactional, still repetitive tasks being performed. And when we are talking about this, let's not just only look at the large organizations who may have taken a first step in automating their processes. A lot of mid-sized and small companies are still dependent on the Excel sheets and paper pen kind of an environment.
Right.
So that to happen, when things start getting automated, the role of HR will be that, okay, once these transactions are actually off my plate, now what do I do? What do I do is that I have to build relations with people. As I was saying, that it's only humans who understand the emotions or feelings or something which is not said, right? That will become increasingly important because people should not get an impression they are just talking to machines and just getting canned responses or automated responses. And there is no opportunity to counter question or for a rebuttal or maybe counter questioning, right? So that's a very important thing. The other thing is HR professionals, and not just HR professional. I think anybody who's working in an environment where HR automation is kind of entering, we will have to be absolutely ready to reskill ourselves. And one quote which I really love, and I get an opportunity, I quote that, is by Alvin Toffler, which says that the illiterate of the 21st century will not be somebody who cannot read or write. It will be somebody who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. So that's a big statement. If one is not ready to relearn what they have or unlearn what they have learned and relearn something new, then people will become redundant or people will become, I would say, not required, right? The other thing which I do see definitely is using data, very, very important. Data literacy is very important. Even today, a lot of HR professionals may not be very savvy with data, even in an Excel format. So understanding data, what is data, what is it telling us? How do you interpret the data? How do you visualize the data? How do you make decisions based on the data? Because that will be the core of somebody as an HR professional to use data as an ally and help their business leaders make decisions or help themselves make any decision. So this is how things are, I do see things are going to change. And of course, as I said, whether you are an HR professional or any other function, one has to feel comfortable with continuous learning and adaptation. That's very, very important.
Yeah, again, some really unique insights there, Amit. Thank you very much for that. And you're also providing me the perfect segue into my last question for you today. You did bring up upskilling, reskilling, continuous learning, right, as some of the most important pegs when it comes to working with HR automation to achieve its full potential. I want to focus on what this means for HR professionals on a very individual level. Do you think it involves a fair amount of changing the way you view your own work and your own role within an organization? And how do HR professionals just kind of keep up with the times? Is it just that, or do they have to bring in a serious mindset shift, right?
No, definitely. There will be a change in mindset or shift in mindset which will be required and which is still required, right? Let's say, okay, let me give you an example. And again, you are working with a business to create an automated tool which can predict attrition in your organization. Okay. Now, for the predictor to be created, the feed or the variables will be procured from the historical data which is available. Let's say if you take last 2, 3 years of data of, you know, attrition or turnover, employee turnover, that data will be available, right? Now, that data set can be given to the developer or who is developing that tool. But the insight of that data will only be provided by the HR professional who has been using that data for so long, right? And if you don't understand that data and if you're not able to provide that, then your tool will become as effective as the input goes into it. So one has to completely understand that how do you use and interpret and use that analysis or use that data. So that's why I use this word of data literacy. That's very, very important. And of course, you know, one will have to be, I would say, very agile and nimble. Now, you can't just afford to be a CNV expert or a talent acquisition expert or an L&D expert. If one has to succeed, one has to come up as a business partner. Now, as a business partner, you should know some part of all of these functions. Because when you are interacting with the business stakeholders, you should be able to provide that insight. And if you are not able to do that, if you say, no, I am only going to be a CNB expert, and tomorrow when you know that most part of the job which you are doing is automated, then what would you do? Or if talent acquisition, if AI is recruiting or is rather screening all the resumes and churning out interviews and you know, everything is being done by AI, what would you do? So you have to evolve, you have to change yourself, right? I'm not saying drastically everybody will have to learn Python or you know, coding, not required, but you should be able to understand the data of your own function, right? Be comfortable with that. And of course, lifelong learning, that's very, very important. And last, I think I touched upon it, but the human aspect of human resources will take an unprecedented importance, the way I see it. Because if one has to stay relevant in a human resources role, large part of that will revolve around the softer skills. And if you look at what the World Economic Forum also predicts as some of the skills needed for the future are, it's problem solving, cognitive thinking, decision making, dealing with emotions. So this is all on the softer side. And thankfully, HR professionals have had the benefit of possessing some of these skills by virtue of the jobs which they do, or at least they're expected to do that, right? So if they don't are not able to build on that, then yeah, of course there will be a gap.
And with that, we arrive at the end of today's episode. Thanks so much, Amit, for being with us, helping us unpack all of this. You know, it is an exciting time, and we've been having conversations on the podcast series that really place us on the brink of something new, right? And I think it's a good time to be talking about this stuff. And I hope all of you listening have taken things of great value from it. Come back to the podcast, make sure to listen to our previous episodes as well. But yes, thank you so much, Amit, for being here today.
Thank you so much, Ahalya, for the opportunity. I really loved having this conversation. Thank you very much.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back with another episode very soon before you know it. But in the meantime, soak up this one. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR, produced by Timber Media.